from another place, the story of Yitro, the story from accepting the Torah, just the Torah brought them together in order to learn something from Yitro, that he taught us how to listen, how to be attentive, to listen and to accept the Torah. So without further ado, Rabbi Tagin, it's a great pleasure to have you with us in our Zoom learning and the source sheet. I think we can see, can you see it at the same time, or we need just to the source sheet that was sent before?
Maybe Johnny can share it on the screen.
I'll share it. I can share it.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Tagin. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon in Israel. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Yom Tov, and God bless you.
Thank you, Rabbi Glicksberg. It's a real honor. It's a little bit of nostalgia. First of all, it's really great to see Rabbi Altman. One of my sharpest memories of Rabbi Altman was amongst all the hustle bustle of the Sinai and Dava a few years ago. There's a lot of scurrying around and a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. There's Rabbi Altman running a Beis Medrash right in the middle of the hotel, Baruch Hashem. And it's a real schus for the Johannesburg community to have Rabbi Altman, and Ritz Hashem, I look forward to our shutafos and to just getting nachas from all of your Harbatzis Tara. And Rabbi Glicksberg, I also remember very, very fondly that Shavuos, in particular the conversation we had on the way home after Tikkun Lail, as he walked me back to where I was staying, and just the sincerity of your commitment to Am Yisrael and the selflessness you demonstrated to this community for so many years is just staggering. So as I'll talk about tonight, you have a good role model in Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll talk a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a big Kiddush Hashem to celebrate Torah under different conditions and to find newfangled ways to spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. And as hard as this whole process has been and looks like it will continue to be, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the tools to spread our warmth and our community and our Torah with one another through new ways. It's a good reminder that technology shouldn't be demonized. You may want to accept it, you may want to delay it, but it's not demonic. Think about how much Torah has been spread over technological means over the last 2-3 months. And Baruch Hashem, it's a Kiddush Hashem. I'm also thinking a lot about the people in France in the end of the 11th century, right around this time, who were suffering terribly. We shouldn't forget their memory as we add closer to Shavuos and the types of tragedies that befell them on Shavuos. Literally, you can't get to a darker part of the tunnel of the last 2,000 years. If you ask me what's the darkest part of that tunnel, every tunnel has the darkest part. Ever been in a tunnel? The darkest part of our tunnel of Gullus was probably the 11th century and the 11th century, maybe the Spanish Inquisition, then of course the end, the Holocaust, and whatever we have to put up with, we should certainly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's given us the capacity to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves and to preserve our health. On a personal level, I just miss you. I have such fond memories from the Shavuoses that we spent together and the conversations we had in between Shiurim and the times I was hosted at your homes and the midnight braai, which I did not partake of because I can't imagine eating meat at 3 a.m, but just shepping nachas with all the South Africans showing us their iron stomachs. I don't have an iron stomach. I can't eat. I was just daintily tasting on some of the cheesecakes. And just all the times we spent together. And I thank you for the invitation. I really wanted to join this year. But Rabos Machshavos Belevish Vatzas Hashem Hisakum. Everyone is where they have to be based on their Ribono Shel Olam's plans. As Rabbi Glicksberg mentioned, it's a very odd pre-climax. We talk about certain sections in the Torah or certain situations being anticlimactic. There's a climax, there's a crescendo, there's high energy, high drama. And then it tapers off very quickly. And we ask ourselves, what happened to all the energy? Perhaps the most well-known anti-climax is Avram Zakeda, the end of Vayera. You'd expect it all to end there with Avram and Yitzchak riding off into the sunset. And all of a sudden the scene shifts back to Aram Naharaim and the birth of Rivka. So that's a case of an anti-climax. Well, if Vayera ends with an anti-climax, Yisro begins with a pre-climax. This is the Parsha. Okay, I'm a little bit prejudiced as my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. But even if it weren't my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, come on, it's the Parsha. It's the Parsha that has Har Sinai. 1 and 2, or 1 and 1a. Yisro and Veschanan, Aseres Adibros, Matan Torah. And yet, before these pyrotechnics and high drama, Yisro's visit is described, and it's not just described, but it's indulged in. A lot of psukim about Yisro coming and who comes with him, and there are names, and it's such a tumult about nothing. And not just about nothing, but as we would say, about a guy who isn't part of Matan Torah. And because of Yisro's visit, the Parsha receives the name Yisro. I mean, what an anomaly. One of the holiest Parshas in the entire Torah. I mean, they all have equal. Obviously, you can't distinguish between Kedushas HaOsios and Kedushas HaParshios, but thematically, the seminal moment of absolute truth portrayed in Parshas Yisro about Matan Torah is referred to as Parshas Yisro. So evidently, the Torah is directing our attention to the visit, to who accompanied him on the visit, to what he saw. This entire section, and we read it all, and something about Matan Torah is conveyed in the opening sections of Yisro. And that's our topic tonight. What can we learn, as Rabbi Glicksberg said, about our Kabbalah Satara to make it a more complete Kabbalah Satara? One of the three Berachas Sataras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Nosein, Berachat Hashem Nosein HaTorah. That's a present perfect. It constantly delivers Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delivering Torah again this year. Obviously, it's a different type of delivery because we all have very, very different perspectives on Torah, very different perspectives on our lives, and very different perspectives on the world. But now we have to be Makabal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be Makabal Torah for us. We have to be Makabal. It can only be a Nosein Torah. We're the Makabalei Torah. So we have to think about how over the next 3 days we can prepare our minds, expand our consciousness, think about what Torah means to us. And tonight I'd like to discuss four different points that are highlighted by Yisro's visit. Number one, as I alluded to before, Yisro is not a Jew. And Yisro doesn't just arrive, but he arrives with a lot of interest, with a lot of curiosity. Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan, Chosein Moshe, Kol Asher Asak, Elokim LeMoshe. He hears, I'm sure many people heard the stories and heard the headlines, but Yisro is an old expression in Yiddish. I don't know, I'm sure some of you speak Yiddish. In Yiddish, to hear is zu hören, but to hear deeply is zu der hören, to hear deeply, to really listen, to absorb. So one can say that many people heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and many people heard about Amalek, and many people, but Yisro der her, Yisro heard, he understood. Vayishma, Chazal already highlighted, Eze Shmua Shama Uba, but this is the classic listener. He's listening, he's paying attention, and he's drawn ineluctably to Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, it's a celebration for Moshe, because if this is an inversion of Shmos. In Shmos, Moshe is a lonely straggler who escapes to Midian, and Yisro was landed in his palace with his riches and his gold and his girls and his daughters, and Moshe is a loner. And now the script is flipped, and now Moshe is Har Elokim, and Yisro shows cover to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it just reminds you that wherever Torah is, that becomes the core and the center of all activity, wherever Torah is stationed. And he's very excited. And this is not just a visit, but it's a visit that elicits a lot of interest. I'm skipping now from part one to part three. I tried to divide the section into topical elements. Vayisaper Moshe lechosno is kol asher asa Hashem lefaro lemitzrayim alodot Yisrael. So there's a story. He retells the story, not just the salvation, but the suffering. Yisro probably heard about all the miracles, and Moshe informs him about the suffering. This part of that, and part of that was formative. Yisro is very happy. Vayichad Yisrael kol atova asher asa Hashem leYisrael. So now the story of the Jews is going public, and it's spreading to Yisro, and presumably from Yisro or through Yisro to other nations. We'll hear about Am Yisrael, we'll hear about Kriyas Yamsuf, we'll hear about Yitzias Mitzrayim, we'll feel B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Mi'am Lo'ez. And ultimately, we'll probably hear about Kriyas Matan Torah. Yisrael delivers a bracha, Baruch Hashem, Sher Yitzil Eschem, Yad Mitzrayim, Yad Paro. A little interesting that Am Yisrael never gave a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes when you're an insider, you take things for granted, as my wife always tells me when I forget to thank her sufficiently for the meal on Shabbos, and my guests beat me to it, so to make sure that I'm the first to thank, and sometimes you just take things for granted. So Yisro is a foreigner, and he sees things from a perspective that other people don't. Yisro is Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, Ato Yedati, Ki Gadal Hashem Mikol Elokim, Ki Vedavar Shezadu Alehem, offers korbanos. So again, this is not just the visit of a father-in-law, This is the visit of an emissary, of a representative, of a Kohen Midyan, a person who had political position, religious influence. Was sitting in the middle of Midyan. We know Midyan was one of the major forces. Midyan, Moab, and Mori, those are the major forces that peddled their influence. And at least according to the, at least according to one reading of the Torah, it's hard to know what, but at least according to one reading of the Torah, Yisro remains for Matan Torah. You have to compare Yisro to what happens in Balosra, but at least according to the simple reading, Yisro is present at Matan Torah. And again, there's a machlokas Rashi in the Ramban when this story took place. Did it take place before Har Sinai, after Har Sinai? But we're just approaching it from the simple read of the Psukim. His open Parshas Yisro. What message does the Rabbanu Shalom want to deliver with a simple read? There are many layers, many messages. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But what's a simple read? What's a simple message? Simple message is that as much as Matan Torah represents our Bechira, our selection, the third, when we recite Berachas HaTorah, we recite three Berachas, because evidently the experience of Torah is too multi-layered to be captured in one Berachas HaMitzvah. Most mitzvahs have one Beracha. Berachas HaTorah is three Berachas. But that final Beracha, which Rav Hamnuna referred to as Me'ula Shebe'Berachas, it's the choices, it's the most endearing Beracha. This doesn't just speak about the experience of Talmud Torah, but the fact that through delivering Torah to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and Har Sinai, not just as a legal mountain, but as a canopy of the Shechina and the Chasana and Shir HaShirim, Hevi'ani al Beis Hayayin, V'diglo la'yahava. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his love for us at Har Sinai. But the love Hashem displays to a Yid is because we have a task in this world, and we chose that task, and because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And that task is to inspire humanity and to stand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, to represent monotheism and to represent morality and to serve as the vanguard of humanity. And that, of course, is Avraham's life. Avraham was Avraham Ongoyim, and Avraham was more or less involved in an international set of affairs, ending wars, diplomacy, spreading the word of Hashem. To a degree, there was a contraction. Yitzchak contracted, Yaakov contracts, certainly, because now Am Yisrael has to consolidate before they can broadcast, before they can inspire the world. But now at Matan Torah, this process that had unfolded for 2,500 years is now coming to a head, is now climaxing. And Torah isn't just intended for Am Yisrael. The Tariag Mitzvahs are intended for Am Yisrael. The words of Torah are intended for Am Yisrael. But the messages of Torah are meant for an entire human audience. And Am Yisrael, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended at some level. It's hard for us to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was. But again, if we just read the simple reading of Bereishis, when humanity proved consistently incapable of living a moral life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches the narrative and Lech Lecha, now I'm going to choose Avram, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it. L'chadchila, so b'shvil Yisrael shenikra Bereishis. But at least at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected man to be exposed to him in an unmediated fashion. And then Moshe receives the Torah, and then Am Yisrael embarks on their journey to Eretz Yisrael at a delay of 40 years. And of course it takes a while, 300-400 years, capture the land, establish Jewish monarchy, build the Beis HaMikdash. And then Shlomo HaMelech launches a 900-year period of Jewish universalism, where Shlomo is involved with visitors, Chiram from Lebanon, and Malchus Sheva. They don't just come to donate materials and to exchange goods, they come to study and to see the society that Am Yisrael has built. And even in the second Beis HaMikdash, where Am Yisrael's luster was somewhat eroded, we still were an international figure. Alexander the Great comes to visit Yerushalayim. And even the story of Hanukkah is a contest between the Yavanim, who want to learn from us but also want to contaminate and pollute what we've established. And then over the last 2,000 years, there's been a contraction and there's been a withdrawal. Because we were in Gullus, we weren't a major player on the world stage. And we spent our time consolidating, surviving, thriving, building this deep, deep inner world of the Beis Medrash and of Torah and of our Masara. And now, Baruch Hashem, we're returning a little bit to the world stage. What do the Jews have to say about? What is the state of the Jews like? Where are the Jews heading? And that's why Yisro's presence is absolutely vital at Har Sinai. Of course, the Torah is delivered to Am Yisrael, Hashem Bachar Banu. And the Medrash that says that Hashem shops the Torah to other nations does not mean that had Yishmael accepted the Torah, right, Edom accepted the Torah, then Am Yisrael would have been deprived. Chalila v'chas. That means it would have been a more direct delivery to Edom, to Yishmael. In addition, but our parashios, our mitzvos, our depth of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have been altered. But Torah is intended for a broader audience. When Moshe reaches the cusp of Eretz Yisrael, source number 5, Be'evahar Yardain, Be'eretz Moav, Hoil Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Zel. So when Moshe redoes the Torah in the beginning of Devarim, what does Rashi comment? Quotes the Medrash, Be'eretz HaTorah B'Shivim Lasha. Moshe interprets the Torah, translates the Torah in 70 languages. So Torah, at least Torah Shebichzav. There's a difference between Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh. It's why you're not supposed to teach Torah Shebichzav to a Gentile. Torah Shebichzav. Basic ideas, and more or less, by hook or by crook, the basic ideas of Torah Shebichzav have been lifted, a little bit of corruption, but have been spread amongst most major religions. Christianity is based on Torah Shebichzav. Islam is based on Torah Shebichzav. Corruptions, Christianity has more corruptions. But by and large, if we look at our world today, we see the Bible, we see the morality, we see more or less a search for a one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than voodoo, magic, witchcraft, paganism. So this is why the Matan Torah, because it highlights Am Yisrael, and because Haviani Obey Sayyai Vidiglo Layava, this is why Matan Torah has to be prefaced with Yisrael's arrival symbolically, as well as literally. He's going to carry this message. He goes back to Midian at some point and spreads the lore and spreads the story of Am Yisrael's Torah. Now, this is true every Shavuos, but I think it's even more important this Shavuos to think about the convergence between these two roles we play. I've been struggling a lot over the last 2-3 months because so much of my experience is universalist, because the pandemic is affecting Jew and non-Jew, because we share the same vulnerabilities. There's no difference between if you're a Jew or not a Jew. And not only do we share vulnerabilities, but we share the mechanisms for recovery. If Jews are careful, but non-Jews are not careful, it won't help, and vice versa. So we're all in the same boat, and we're looking at the numbers. And I assume and I hope we're all davening for Basra Vadam. I hope we're all davening for B'nai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all of humanity. And we feel that all humanity needs some healing. So the universalist part of us has been very enunciated during this period. And now it's Erev Shavuos, and we were chosen, and somehow we have to shift back into the Mo'adim, Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim, Mahavto osanu v'ratzis banu, v'matanu mikol ha'lashonos. It's really important that you try to merge these two. They may seem to be different narratives, the universalist narrative and the nationalist narrative. They're not. Hashem loves us and chose us because He wants us to inspire the world, because He wants us to teach the world about His presence, because He wants us to gather all of humanity in Yerushalayim, our friends and our enemies, to see the Rabbanu Shel Olam, Halu'as Hashem Kol Goyim Shabchu Kol Umim, and to be healed, and to be healed in a way that no matter what vaccines we discover, will not be full until the Rabbanu Shel Olam has that Nahar that emerges from the Beis HaMikdash, as we read about in Yechezkel Mem Zayin and in Zechariah. So that's what we're aiming towards. It may feel a bit different because sometimes we act more Jewish and sometimes we act more universalist. But it's really important on the eve of Matan Torah, Hashem delivered the Torah to us, and most of our Torah experience, even now that we're in the state of Israel, still I don't go to spread Noahide laws. I don't go to England to teach Torah. I'm not invited, but I don't teach Torah to Gentiles. I basically teach the 8th Perek of Baba Basra. I spent my entire day working through a Tosfos. Very, very technical. But at some point, all the Torah we study and all the lives we lead and drawing Hashem into this world is meant to affect a broader equation. And it's important to be able to see those two poles, not just as dual poles, but as one merged experience. That's the first reason that Yisro has to preface Matan Torah. The second reason that Yisro has to preface Matan Torah, this also has a corona tie. We'll try to have every one of the four ideas, hopefully we'll have some corona tie. And I don't know, but corona is a pretty all-engulfing experience. It's not hard to find crosslinks. So it's not just a question of Yisro arriving, but it's also who accompanies him. And here too, the Torah is quite indulgent. The Torah doesn't waste words. The Torah is very indulgent. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. We know this already. Esi Pora Eishes Moshe, that we know also. Achar Shiluchah, well, obviously. Veishnei Bonea Sheshem Echad Gershom. Now we have the listing of the sons. We can follow. It's not that hard. Certain things I can follow, but I can look up the names in Shmos. I don't need to know the names. I need to know why they were named. Kiyam Ar Gerizi Beretz Nachriyav Shem Echad Eliezer Kiyavi Bezi. Vayavo, Yisrael, Hosein, Moshe, Vanav, Yishtel, Moshe, and Midbar, they're coming. Of course, we know they're part of the entourage. Shechonesh, Amar, Elokim. Vayomel, Moshe, Anich, Hosincha, Yisrael, Boy, Lecha, Vayishtecha. You get the point? Torah, it's important for our Kodesh Baruch Hu that we see Moshe's wife and his children. Why? Because Har Sinai doesn't just deliver the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to human beings, but Har Sinai also highlights Moshe Rabbeinu as Yesh Elokim. And as far as we were able to advance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe went even further. And as terrified as we were, Moshe Nigash El HaRafel Shashem Elokim. So Har Sinai is about Am Yisrael and Mass Revelation and Torah and Bechiras Yisrael, but it's also about Moshe Rabbeinu and his authority and his role as the Adon HaNevim, in his role as the start of our Masara. Moshe is being spotlighted. In fact, there's a pasuk in Yisro that I didn't quote, Bavo Yishmaham bedabri imach vegam b'chayaminu li'olam. Moshe won't live forever, so the aminu li'olam just means the Masara that Moshe is launching will have credibility because of Moshe's stature, which was verified at Har Sinai. And here's the question. What person do you want to see on Har Sinai under that spotlight as the paradigm or the exemplar of human achievement? Should he be a bachelor, or should he be a married person? And we all know the answer. You see, Moshe's wife and his children were in something called, I don't know if you have it in South Africa, but in America it's called the Witness Protection Program. If let's say you're a witness against a mafia head, so they put you in a witness, they send you to Arizona, and they put you in a backyard with a pool, and you get to take some strange name. It's called the Witness Protection Program. Not that I was ever on it, but... a good way to disappear. So Tzipora and Eliezer and Gershom were in the witness protection program because things were very, very dangerous in Mitzrayim because Moshe had a bullseye on his back and his family could have been in danger in harm's way. So at some point, we don't really see when, maybe in the end of the Bris Milah story in Shemalz, but at some point, these children and his wife are spirited quickly back to Midian, out of harm's way, to be safe. And that's alluded to by these psukim. Ki geri siveris nachriya. The names are not just names, but they're names that highlight that these were duress situations. Vayetzileni mecharev paro. So the names are stated here to set the tone. Things were hot in Mitzrayim. And the children and the wife, for good reason, had to be sidelined. But that was then, and this is now. And the portrait of Moshe at Har Sinai has to be the portrait of a family man, not of a bachelor. Yiddishkeit doesn't celebrate or doesn't endorse celibacy. Yiddishkeit does not endorse separating ourselves. Yiddishkeit does not say a family life is secondary or low or menial. A couple of years before Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was nifter, someone asked him, what are you proudest of in your entire life, of all your accomplishments? Imagine the amount of Tamidim, the Svarim, the Shiur. I mean, he said without flinching, he said, my family, the fact that I raised my family. A Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can only serve in the Beis HaMikdash, again, approaching the Shechina in a way that's similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, in a way that even Chazal compared the Miluim in the Mishkan to the 7 days of preparation for the Kohen Gadol. Maskina la Kohen Acher Tachtav, you create a substitute waiting in limbo in case the Kohen is invalidated. And Rabbi Yehuda says, at least, you also have to have a stand-in wife. You also have to have someone that is ready to be his wife in case his wife dies. Why? Because the Torah says, V'chiper ba'do v'yad beso, beso zo'ishto. Because he can't, and this is so antithetical to how some religions view relations between men and women, that he can't achieve kapara unless he has a wife. Because his status is incomplete, and he's a half a person if he can have a wife and he can't. You'd think to be kapar, he should be a celibate monk. He should be someone that's completely distant from that whole world that could be alluring and that could be tempting. And the chibur bandov yad beso. Because his full stature is achieved if he has a wife and he has a bias. And that's why the story prefaces Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe could be reunited with his family. It's not his fault. And to a degree, even if you look in Bereishis, there's tension between public and private lives. And it's a tension that's unavoidable. Chazal say, where was Avraham when Sarah dies? Vayavo Avraham in the beginning of Chaye Sarah, lispod l'Sarah v'livkosa, to eulogize Sarah. Vayavo Avraham, hechan ba, the Medrash says. At least according to the more authoritative, traditional opinion. Now that's a very, very stark contrast. You can either be in, you can't be in two places at once. You can only be in one place. You can either be making history at Har Moriah, or you can be with your wife as she passes, caressing her, calming her, speaking with her. Can't be both. You just can't. And I think the heroism of the Avos is that they try to narrow the gap, is they try to be both, and they try to be family man, they try to... But it's a pressure and a tension that's built in. In Moshe Rabbeinu's circumstance, it's built in because of the security situation. But to debunk any notion that we want a bachelor, that's the perfect model, the bachelor standing on a scene. Not that he's a bachelor legally, but he's standing there without a wife and without a children. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be accompanied by his family, by his wife and his children. It's a beautiful Gemara Psachim, source number 8, that mentions that the question, the premise is, why did Am Yisrael place the blood on the doorposts in Mitzrayim? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the capacity to discern a Jewish home from an Egyptian home? Well, we have to put the blood to denote Jews versus Egyptians. So Rabbi Yosef, who was blind but evidently had vision, Rabbi Yosef says, Ve'od HaTana Rabbi Yosef, Shlosha Mizbechos Hayusham. There were three Mizbechos, Al HaMashkof, on the top post, Ve'Alshtei HaMezuzos, on the two side posts, V'Sum Midechuin. It wasn't placing blood to ward off evil spirits or to demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this was a Jewish home. The blood was placed on the doorstep, on the doors, because this is Zrikas Hadam. This was, every carbon requires Zrikas Hadam, sprinkling of blood, application of blood. Am Yisrael didn't have a Mizbeach yet. There was no Beis HaMikdash. They couldn't construct a Mizbeach. So essentially, the Jewish home was the first Mizbeach. The first carbon employed the door to a Jewish home as a Mizbeach. And we refuse to allow any daylight between our family roles and our world of Avodas Hashem. And to me, that's the second coronavirus lesson. So much of our challenges over the last couple of weeks and months has really been family. We've been quarantined, spending a lot of time with people that we're not accustomed to spending as much concentrated, uninterrupted time. Inevitably, we're going to step on each other's toes. Inevitably, we're going to say things to people that we wish we hadn't. And I think we all know that practically it pays to just be a good person, a good wife, husband, child, sister, brother. But are we able to cast relationships as part of our Avodas Hashem? I think we all try to improve our relationships and be good at our relationships. But are we able to say that being a good husband, because when you're happy to be a good husband, when things are working well and there's compassion and understanding, then you don't need your Avodas Hashem. It's your romance, it's your relationship, it's your mutual interest. But during the difficult moments in any relationship we have, we're able to see that as part of our Avodas Hashem. That's what I tell a Chassan in my last conversation. I say, being a husband is part of being an Oved Hashem. Especially in today's world, where relationships are very different than they were 100, 200 years ago. For many, 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 many reasons, the level of stress, the level of expectation, the level of self-esteem that does or doesn't exist, just, it's such an important part of whom we are in our lives, and we shouldn't take it lightly, and we shouldn't trivialize them. And I think that's the second reason that Yisro's arrival is showcased, because Yisro arrives with Moshe's wife, and Yisro arrives with Moshe's children. The third reason that Yisro's arrival is highlighted is because of what he sees. And he sees, and this is something I was alluding to like Glitzberg before, about selflessness and dedication. Yisro was worried sick because he sees his son-in-law, going back to the sources, and Moshe is spending day and night attending to the needs. Vahimi Macharas, Vayesha Moshe, source 4, Lishbodis Ham, Vayamodam, Moshe, Min Haboker, Ad Aref. Talk about long business hours, early morning, late hours. And his father was worried. Vayar Hosein Moshe, Eskalo, Osher, Seleam. Madavarza, Navolti Bol, you're going to wilt, you're going to burn out, you're going to run out of gas, you're going to run out of energy. And Yisro recommends that he establish a bureaucracy and delegate authority and responsibility. But this is an important preface to Moshe's ascent to Har Sinai, because it highlights a very, very important truism or tenet of our relationship with Hashem. You would think that to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should separate yourself from people. You should separate yourself from the masses. The masses are contaminating. The masses can't lead a lifestyle that will elevate your own lifestyle, that will purify your experiences. So you should create that ivory tower and disengage and find some quiet place. And of course, there are times for all of that. But essentially, your ticket of entry into the intimate precincts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your commitment to Am Yisrael. HaShochein Itam B'toch Tumosam. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu places His Shechina with us when we fail and when we fall, so too. This is one of the big important messages of Chassidus, that we don't judge and rebuke and lambast. We do that as well. We just accept the Kedusha of every Jew, and we try to embrace as best as we can without justifying or without endorsing lifestyles. We just try B'toch Tumosam. It's really one of the guiding principles of Chassidus. I got a little lost. To be honest, it got a little lost in our tradition. And the Chassidus was introduced to restore it. This starts already in Parshas Ve'era. Parshas Ve'era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces to Moshe a whole new interface to understand him. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe ve'yomer lav ani Hashem. Vayira al Avraham al Yitzchak ve'al Yaakov b'keil Shakai, u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. Without addressing the difference between Kel Shakai and Shmi Hashem, and without addressing the fact that Hashem does appear to the Avos and Breishis with Yudkei Vavkei, those are two important questions, and I'm not belittling them. One message is unequivocally, unmistakably clear. There was a level of Gilui Shechina that Moshe was zochet to that surpassed that of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I appeared to them, Bekel Shakai, but the name Yudkei Vavkei, I didn't. And to you I will, Ani Hashem. And this is the launch of the second stage or the second phase of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And this broad announcement begs the question, what did Moshe do to deserve this? This is not Moshe as the MVP. This is not Moshe after he receives the Torah and splits the Amsof, the miracle performance. This is a rookie. This is an upstart. The answer is his level of Shechina is not a reward for accomplishment. It's a reality, because as committed and devoted as our Avos were, they were the heads of a family, of a clan. Moshe now leads a nation with all the challenges and all the expectations and all the burdens. And that's why the next couple of psukim serve to justify why you're seeing me as Ani Hashem. V'gam hakim osias b'risi itam. L'seis lehem. Now is the time for me to restore Jewish history, to fulfill my bris, to listen to their suffering. V'otzeisi, v'itzalti, none of this unfurled with the Avos. The Avos were living domicile lives, with struggle, with issues, and I'm not in any way undermining, but they were family issues. Now Moshe is dealing with an entire nation, and the demands and expectations of an entire nation will draw him in, and Moshe gets drawn in. And what's so amazing about Moshe is not just his spiritual, intellectual depth and prowess, but how versatile he is as a leader in so many different contexts with so many different people. And because of that, the level of his Gilui Shechina spikes. This is the setting in Va'era. This is the setting in Yisra. Moshe's ticket of entry to that next level, that next cliff, is self-annihilating commitment to the people. My Rebbe Rav Amital would always tell me, always tell us the following story. The premise is, what was Moshe discussing with them? A ketzos, a sugya. They didn't have any Torah. What were they talking about? All day and all night. What were the questions? All about Shabbos or Chashabbos? They had one mitzvah? Paraduma? What were they talking? Paraduma is a hard mitzvah. Rav Chaim and Paraduma. What are they talking about? So my Rebbe, Rav Amital, would always tell us the story of a Chassidish Rebbe who sat up all night listening to his Chassidim pour their hearts out. So Chassid came in and said, Rebbe, I have no parnasa. So the Rebbe said, oh, you have no parnasa, say Tehillim, give tzedakah, learn Mishnayos, bav metzias, segula, you'll have parnasa. Next Chassid comes in, it's now 1 o'clock, Rebbe, my wife, she needs her 4 shalema. Oh, your wife needs her 4 shalema. Okay. Learn Mesechas Kedushin, learn some Tehillim, say some Tehillim, give some tzedakah, your wife will have 4 shalema. A couple hours later, it's about 2:30 in the morning, next chassid comes in, Rebbe, Rebbe, my tachter, my daughter, retzach ha-shidduch, she needs a shidduch. So he says, oh, your daughter needs a shidduch, learn ksuvos, give some tzedakah, say some tehillim, she'll have a shidduch. Now it's 4:30 in the morning, and the Rebbe and his shamish are hobbling home, half asleep and half awake, and a chassid comes bursting out down the street and says, ich darf der Rebbe, I need the Rebbe. So the shamish says, Rebbe's showing going schlafen. Rebbe's going to sleep. Rebbe hears this chassid says, Lazar come, let him come. So the chassid starts crying, Rebbe, Rebbe, what am I going to do? My cow has an ear-splitting headache. What am I going to do about my cow? It has an ear-splitting headache. And of course, the shamish is like making faces at him, making eyes at him. So the Rebbe says, oh, your cow has a headache. Say some tehillim, give some tzedakah, learn some mishnayos, mesechas para. Kal aver for shleim. It's now 5 in the morning, and the chassid, the gabbai, tells the Rebbe, I can understand the one who needs parnasa, one who needs a shidduch for his daughter, or one who needs a for shleim. But you have nothing better to do at 4:30 in the morning than deal with this fashtunkin chassid and his crazy cow. So the Rebbe says, you don't understand it. He didn't want to talk about his cow. He wanted to connect with me. The cow is just a pretext. So many times in life, talmidim, family members, children, spouses, they just want to connect with you. It's hard to say, I want to connect with you. So we find cover stories. Come do this. I have a question. What should I do? And sometimes we lose patience because we don't have the time to answer questions in a very, very frantic world. I'm on the other side. In Israel, we're already coming out of our corona quarantine. It's really scary. It's really scary to leave the world in which we had so much time and no one was pressuring us for time. We could commit to the family. I know it sounds like a better world to be part of, but I feel like a prisoner being let out of prison, and the freedom is a little bit hard to deal with. And now that I don't have as much time, juggling is not going to be as easy for me as it was when I really didn't have to juggle my time. And that was on display in Va'era. That is the preface of Yisrael, seeing Moshe self-annihilating in his commitment to Am Yisrael. And that story essentially climaxes in Ketisa, because that's Moshe's second Har Sinai. That's Moshe's private Har Sinai. That's Moshe's Yud Gimel Midos Har Sinai, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. That's Moshe's Hareini Nas Kivodecha Har Sinai, where he sees more than Hashem than any human being ever to live. Ani Arvir Kol Tovi Al Panecha. And you ask yourself, well, in Ketisa, what yields that even increased surge in Moshe's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer in Ketis is, right before Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the mountain for that private encounter, Moshe davens on behalf of the people, and Hashem, and he tells him, Ve'atayim tisach atasam source 3, v'im'ayin mecheni na misifach ha-shekha safta. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had offered Moshe a pretty good offer. He says, Hashem says, leave me alone. I'll destroy the Jews and I'll start the Jewish people. I'll start a new nation. You'll be the founding father. That's a pretty good offer. I would have signed. I'll be the founding father. I'll have my picture in all the dollar bills. It's my birthday. There'll be a national high. I would have taken that offer. Moshe says, You want me? You got to take the people. If you don't take the people, you don't get me. It's a package deal. And Hashem says, you know what? That is exactly what I wanted to hear. That is exactly what I wanted to hear. And because of that, you now step up to the next level of your Gilui Shechina. Because Gilui Shechina is not despite your interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's other children, but because of it. And it's a proportion that you're committed. And to a degree, without spending too much time, that Moshe's retirement, to a degree, part of Moshe's retirement is when that selflessness starts to recede even slightly, even Moshe Rabbeinu levels of receding. When Moshe Rabbeinu at the rock says, Shimuna Hamorim, Hamin HaSela Zedot Tzimayim, and he flashes his anger and he flashes his judgment. Again, can't call it anger, can't call it judgmentalism in our terms, but it's Moshe level anger, Moshe level intolerance, and Moshe level language. It is for us to use that language may have been appropriate, but for Moshe it wasn't, and it's not a punishment. It's just the reality. You're no longer the leader that's fit to escort them into Eretz Yisrael. So the first reason that Yisro prefaces Matan Torah is that there should be a broader representation for the diffusion of Torah. Second reason is we want Moshe to be seen as a family person. The third reason is sacrifice and commitment to Am Yisrael as your ticket to enter a greater interaction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the fourth reason, and in some ways this may be the most important reason, in some ways, is Har Sinai is a very, very authoritarian moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in a way that just quiets everything. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Eretz Yarav Ishakata, I was reading as far as Emes about it. It says everything goes silent. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resonates in a quiet and stilled world. Probably the most demonstrative image of the authoritative nature, of the overwhelming authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day is Kaf Aleim HaKigigas, the Gemara in Shabbos. The entire mountain is hoisted. And to a degree, it's important that we be forced into accepting Torah because it's not our choice. Because we accepted Torah because we were forced. But religion can't be seen as compulsory and stifling and suffocating. It has to be seen as kihem chayenu v'orach yameinu. It has to be seen as the elixir of life. And in order for religion and Torah Hashem to be seen that way, not only must the Jewish people enthusiastically say Nasa v'nishma, because we all know that they're sitting at Har Sinai and they know it's going to erupt in fire and they know it's going to be a volcano and they know they don't have a choice. But before Har Sinai begins, they're soliciting Moshe Rabbeinu. They're looking for answers from Torah and religion. We want to be better people. We want to live life better. We want to improve ourselves. Har Sinai hasn't begun. They're not even at Har Sinai at this stage. We don't know where they are. They're at Har Elokim, which is probably a broader sweep. It's not Har Sinai, B'chodesh HaShloshi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael, M'nizem B'yam, Bo Har Sinai. So in Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they came to the mountain. They were somewhere else in a broader vicinity close to the mountain. And at this point, without the threat, without the impending reality that Kadosh Baruch Hu will demand and command, and they just want to know about religion. They're searching. Ki elam davar baylai. V'shafariti ben yishuvein re'eus. Of course, there's crisis resolution, but it's not just that. Who dug a pit? Who's animal? Partnerships? Mediation? Litigation? It's not just that. I teach them Hashem's word. And then when Yisrael helps, recommends to Moshe to establish some bureaucracy, these are not just dry halachos. These are Torah being cast in a way that can affect life, that can improve life. Derech yelchuba. Masa asher yasun, a way of life, holistic. Gemara Darshan is based on this very specific, and she says the Gemara in Bava Kama, Hodatalem, Zebes Chayayim, life in general, Asaderech, Milas Chasadim, Yechu, Bikracholim, Ba, Kfura, Maisadin, Fumishur Asadin, a real assortment of parts of life that can be influenced by Torah. So there's a volitional element in this story that Yisro sees. That's absolutely crucial before religion becomes commanded and demanded. And man, it's so important for it to be commanded. A Jew lives a life as mitzvah v'yosa. And I think that for so many of us in the modern world, we have disfigured religion. And when we teach ourselves and we teach others about religion, the words we tend to use are redemptive, meaningful, purpose, principle, content, value. Religion is avodas Hashem. It's not about us. It's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's about being an Oved Hashem. And if it's hard, then it's meant to be hard. And if it doesn't necessarily agree with your needs, it's not meant to be your needs. It's not about your needs. It's about being an Oved Hashem. I mentioned Rav Lichtenstein before. In one of the interviews before he passed, someone asked him, what do you want written on your grave? You can only imagine what could be written on this person's grave. And he said, I just want two words, Oved Hashem. Not even Eved Hashem, because that sounds like a title rather than a process. And if you go to his kever today, you see two words in a very, very clean kever called Oved Hashem. So of course, Har Sinai has to have commandment and demand, and we are Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Baruch Atah Elohim Adam, Lo Machshav Asai Machshav Oseichem. But before that, there has to be a portrait of people who sense innately that in these words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in these mitzvahs that they're about to receive, is a path of life. And they voluntarily solicit that information. And then Har Sinai can happen. And then the Tzivuyim, and then the mitzvahs, and then the lichos, and then the stony tablets. But first people have to want it and solicit it. And of course we know that religion is some combination of human interest and human desire and human symmetry, but also accepting the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think all of us realize that as much as we try to build a society and to build a society that functions medically, economically, events like this remind us, as we've all come to realize, of those limits and of the power and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm certain that everyone here has been processing the last 2-3 months through religious lenses, the lenses of Avod Hashem, to feel the presence of Kutcher Brechu. To be honest, that's the second thing I miss so much about living quarantine. I just don't have as much time to think about a Kutcher Brechu because my day is just so hot, rushed, and I have a lot of time to think and a lot of time to build that relationship. Like all relationships, it takes time and takes quiet. Those are the four reasons that Yisro's visit prefaces Har Sinai. Number one, general international representation. Number two, Moshe is a family man. Number three, Moshe's undying, tireless commitment to Am Yisrael as the prompt of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then number four is Moshe Rabbeinu responding to human beings who willfully solicit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, and they're not just stifled by a mountain that hovers above their head, threatening to bury them alive. So here are four points to try to pivot around, in addition to all the other Torah you'll be learning and all the other ideas that you'll be sharing with one another. Four points to pivot around. Are we able to merge those two narratives of universalism and nationalism? Are we able to feel selected without it degenerating to xenophobia or to racism or to chas v'shalom? Are we able to cast our family relationships as part of our avodas Hashem? What is our commitment to Am Yisrael, especially in an era of Israel, especially in an era where our needs are so great? And then finally, we're able to distill a relationship with Torah and Avodas Hashem that on the one hand starts with Ana Avda D'Kutcher Baruch Hu, but also blossoms into a larger array, a more colorful array of realizing Kihem Chayenu V'Yarachimenu. So again, I'm sad that I won't be able to be with you this Yom Tov. A lot of really, really fond memories and fond people. I'm very fond of everyone. I'm just looking at everyone's picture now. I was just looking at the sheet before. But Emirat Hashem, you're in good hands. Have a lot of good shiurim there, I'm sure, Zoom and otherwise. Everyone should have a chag kasher v'sameach. And Emirat Hashem, Hashem should give us the chance to be together soon enough in the flesh. Chag sameach, everyone.
Another excellent shiur. And we learned a lot from the shiur.